A blessed Easter to all as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. I had a real aha moment this week when I looked at the readings for this Sunday and put the doubting part of the gospel story on the back burner. I asked myself, why is it that on this second Sunday of Easter, we first have a reading where all of the early disciples are giving their testimonies and sharing everything they had with each other? Why is it that we hear in the first letter attributed to John about fellowship and light and joy? Why is it that we prayed together in Psalm 133 about how good it is for people to live together in unity? And the answer to these questions came to me that we hear these words to remind us that we are people of the resurrection. We are a community that recognizes the lengths to which God will go so that we can have honest and caring relationships with each other, with all of creation, and with God. It's the continuation of that Maundy Thursday message of Jesus telling his disciples to go out to love and serve others in the same way that he loved and served them. That recognition that God is not only telling us that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, but is actively showing us what that means through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I was talking to a friend recently, and she made the comment that of all the disciples in the gospel story, only Thomas responds with the words, "My Lord and my God." It is Thomas, doubting Thomas no less, who really got it. Not only was Jesus Lord, but also God. And Thomas' recognition is then shared with the disciples present in that room and all of us who have heard this story since. The Gospel of John has this overarching intent throughout to remind all of the readers of the mystic communion between the divine and the human, both in the person of Jesus, but also in the relationship between God and humanity. As the Gospel says itself, it was written so that we may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in so believing have eternal life. We also hear this in the last verse of one of my favorite hymns. Yet we on earth have union with God, the three in one, a mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. O happy ones and holy, God give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, may live eternally. We tend to think about faith or belief as being personal and individual, but we also hear in that first letter of John, we declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Being people of the resurrection is not a solitary undertaking. It is not only a relationship between one person and God, or between Jesus and his disciples, but being people of the resurrection is the creation of community. As the psalmist sang and as we joined, how good and how pleasant it is when kindred live in unity. That unity is given through Christ, through the love, service, and sacrifice of our risen Lord. So how do we respond? How do we live as kindreds in the family of God and people of the resurrection? Our reading from Acts and the first letter of John give us some clues. We come together to work to make this world a better place. We go out to share the good news, the news that Jesus is Lord and God. And from there, we continue building the global community of resurrection people. We do this not because we think God will love us if we do these great things, but because we know God already loves us and through us can work to make great things happen. It is interesting that in the readings assigned for today, we have the reading from Acts that describes how the early followers of Jesus came together, they shared all that they had, and their primary goal was to share the news of the risen Lord to create and build that early Christian community. What gets left out of the reading is what happens next. Ananias and his wife Sapphira, who are part of this community, see how popular certain people are becoming because of what they are donating to the early church, and they come up with a popularity scheme. They decide to sell all that they have, give most of that money to the early church, and keep the rest. To the community, they suggest that they had actually given 100% of the money received. And the error is not that it was wrong to give less than 100% of their assets. In fact, in the story, Peter says to them, "Your money and the land is yours to do with what you like." The error was lying with the purpose to elevate themselves. But it is so incredibly human to want to be most admired, to be like James and John and ask Jesus, "Can I be at your right hand?" The desire to be seen as exceptional. After all, doesn't this world tell us that if we're not exceptional, we're nothing? But that's the topsy-turvy message of the gospel, right? Those who would be first will be last, and those who are last will be first. I want to share a little story about this. It's not about any specific person, but something that happens pretty regularly to me as a professor. Where I teach, many of the young people who come to campus come from families that have been financially successful, and the parents have spent much time and energy and money encouraging and supporting activities for their offspring. And this leads to this pattern of overachievement. And I do get that. You know, there are few parents out there who do not want their children to do better than what they have done, myself included. So often in the fall, after the first big exam for organic chemistry, I have a young man or a young woman who is sitting in my office or in recent times, you know, meeting with me via Zoom in tears because the exam has been returned and for the first time ever, the grade is not exceptional. It may not be an F, but it's not an A or a B. I talk with these students and I see that for some, this grade has led to an existential crisis. They're asking, if I'm not an A student anymore, who am I? And there are times when it is clear that they have perceived that their worth as a person is tied to grades or athletic ability or career choice or any of those other benchmarks that this world says is important. And they do not perceive that they have intrinsic worth as a human being. And this is exceptionalism gone really awry when a 19-year-old is having a mental breakdown because of an exam grade. All you have to do is look up the suicide and anxiety statistics in college students to know that this is pervasive. And again, I don't want to suggest that we shouldn't encourage hard work and high quality, and I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't want our children to be financially stable and to have a career that they love. Of course we should. But I have seen that the focus on being exceptional can sometimes overshadow the gospel message of God's love and the value that all humans and all of creation hold because we are the beloved creation of God. So again, what is it to be people of the resurrection? And that is where Thomas gives us the answer. Like Thomas, it is to proclaim my Lord and my God. It is to look for the light of God in this world and in the living Christ. It is to look for the light of God in this world in the beauty and belovedness that is in all because God has created all. It is to do what the early Christians did, to give our testimony of the resurrection and be reminded over and over and over again that God has created us to be in community, to love and to be loved. It may be difficult to picture what it is to be community at this moment because for the last year, there have been very few gatherings. But community isn't just about gathering together in a particular place or a particular time. Right now, we are connected mostly through the airwaves, but we are still a community. In today's reading from Acts and in Psalm 133, we are reminded that community is not about being physically present, but about spiritual connection. that we are community because we are united in that resurrection of our Lord. It is tempting to look at the light of the end of this COVID tunnel and dream of going back to the way things were, but the resurrection shows us that there is no going back. But that's okay. We will continue to build our community from where we are now. Remember, the resurrection is the greatest change imaginable, and to be resurrection people means to embrace that change, to proclaim what common sense and this world would deem impossible, that just as Jesus died, Jesus rose from the dead. And we proclaim Jesus both human and divine. To be resurrection people, we recognize that even in our brokenness, in our full humanity, even when we are not exceptional, we are still loved by God, saved by Christ, and destined to life eternal. In short, to be a resurrection people, we, like Thomas, respond with the words, "My Lord and my God," and are changed with that proclamation. Amen.